The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or do, in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, over the next several Sundays, we will be considering the Christian home. These include the foundation, husband and wife, parents and children, preservation of the home, and we will learn that a Christian home is to be an image of our eternal home in heaven. The home is the foundation of the church and the state and of civilization itself. God gave to Adam and Eve the Garden of Eden, commonly called Paradise, as their first home. As long as it was a pious home where God could walk and talk to them in the cool of the day, it was a blessed home. But as soon as this home lost its piety, its obedience to God and his word, it was wrecked and sin entered, followed by expulsion. The Christian home is one of the most important institutions of earth. Firstly, because of its salutary influence on parents, children, church, state, and the world at large. Secondly, because of its unique position in the life of the Christian, it is the spot on earth supremely blessed, a dearer, sweeter spot than all the rest, the poet says. It is like an oasis in the desert, providing rest and refreshment, inspiration and joy amid the toils and tribulations of life. In our day, genuine Christian homes are rare. Even among those who profess to be Christians, there are many people who have homes that are devoid of all distinctively Christian characteristics. But worse, in our own country, there is an alarming increase of domestic strife, irresponsible parents, rebellious children, divorces and the like. If our homes lose their Christian atmosphere and fall victim to the pernicious spirit of the age, they will cease to be a source of blessing and will inflict permanent injuries on parents and children, disgrace the church, multiply the problems of the state, and be a standing offence to the world at large. Hence this series of sermons on the Christian home. Let us now begin our study of this important subject by hearing from the Word of God how a Christian home is to be founded. Our text says, "Whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." This is the best prescription for the founding of happy Christian homes. May the Lord bless a meditation. So firstly, this prescription is to be followed from early youth. Preparation for marriage really begins in early youth, when physical developments take place and character, attitudes and habits are formed. Many people render themselves physically, mentally and morally unfit for marriage through careless living. Scores of homes are made unhappy and eventually are wrecked as a result of sins committed long before the wedding day. In view of these appalling facts, I exhort the young, who will be the founders of our future homes, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the same message as you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Never engage in an act that cannot be performed in the holy name of your Saviour. Let Christian lives in every respect, but especially in matters pertaining to the sixth commandment. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and that years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them." In 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 22 we are told, "Keep yourself pure." And in Ephesians chapter 5 we read, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." And likewise you read in Colossians chapter 3 verse 5, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Hence the psalmist prays in Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." In the pure and consecrated lives of our young people, we have the best guarantee of future happy Christian homes. These truths must be stressed in view of the general decline of morals. Parents dare not shirk their duties in this respect. With love and patience, they must instruct, guide, admonish, and correct their children. And bear in mind how much is at stake. There are many Christian resources available to help the young people. Such resources are Facts for Faith and the Creation of Love and Marriage by John Mackay, and Here, Honour and She, His Glory by Pastor Vernon Grieger. And there are many more resources as well. Secondly, this prescription is to be followed, especially during courtship and at engagement. The first definite step toward the founding of a home is taken in courtship. Many people regard courtship as a trivial matter, a mere pastime, but it is a serious and important matter, for it leads to the choosing of a life companion. Our young children then never lose sight of this. In their association with one another, they should make an earnest effort to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It may seem to them that courtship is altogether incompatible with the high and holy name of the Saviour, but it is not so. St. Paul says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." This whatever includes every word and deed in the life of a Christian, also his social activities and his courtship. Bearing this in mind, our young people will not cultivate dangerous friendships nor engage in forbidden pleasures. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment." The next step is engagement. Here the greatest care should be exercised. W. M. Taylor commented, "For who shall tell how many lives that might otherwise have been beautiful, exalted, and gracious have been marred and blurred and mutilated and degraded by an improper marriage?" Many people rush into engagement with ill-suited persons, never pausing for a moment to consider the consequences or to breathe a prayer. The results are evident in thousands of shattered homes. But the sincere Christian will choose his spouse in the name of the Lord Jesus. Entering into an engagement in his spirit, he will be mindful of the solemn and lifelong obligations he is about to assume. He will secure his parents' counsel and consent. He will zealously avoid every unlawful and perilous union. He will choose a Christian who will call upon God for guidance and blessing. Thus he places his feet in the path that leads to true happiness in the home. How many heartaches and domestic tragedies would be avoided if young people in their courtship and engagement would do all in the name of the Lord Jesus? And the youth of today would only more deeply ponder what it is to choose a partner, to be of one in spirit and one flesh with them for the whole of their pilgrimage of earth. Then their choice would not be made in the false glare of outward appearances. Then as long as we both shall live, or in the older language, until death us depart, would ring perpetually in their souls. In the light of the day, they would choose, and by the light of God's word, they would test their partner, seek the advice of Christian friends, and not join hands until they were sure of the divine Amen. Let us remind ourselves of one of the devotions that we had earlier, "Thine Forever," which is based on Luther's Small Catechism. Your successful life, courtship and engagement. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, we read that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Our life is successful to the degree in which God enters into and controls it. This is especially true in the important growing up period when we have dates, fall in love, and eventually become engaged and married. In the expectant spirit of Mary and Joseph, let us treasure each new experience in the realm of friendship and affection as a God-given opportunity for growth and development. Enter into it joyfully yet reverently. May we be aware of the sacredness of each individual personality with which we may influence and be alive to the promised happiness where body, mind and spirit are dedicated to God's will. Before our dating and engagement, may we seek and then obey divine guidance. Daily, let us pray for the mind of Christ and his scale of values, a as we share life with those we love. May the Holy Spirit direct us as a Heavenly Father moulds our life and helps us to build our future home. So thirdly, the prescription is to be followed on the wedding day. The actual founding of the home takes place on the wedding day. In making the arrangements for the wedding and on the wedding day itself, the motto should be, "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." First of all, the marriage ceremony should be performed with the word of God and prayer. But this is not enough. Jesus should be the most prominent guest at your wedding. A thoroughly Christian atmosphere should prevail and every worldly element should be excluded. Above all, both the groom and the bride should dedicate themselves and their homes to the Lord and begin their married life with the firm resolve of Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." How sinful, foolish and reckless it is to follow the marriage service with boisterous festivities patterned after the wicked. Can they be conducted in the name of Jesus? Can Jesus be present at such gatherings? Certainly not. Let us testify against these disastrous practices and set a good example. The best prescription for the founding of a happy Christian home is found in our text. Whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Observe this from early youth. Follow it conscientiously through your courtship and your engagement and marriage, and you have laid a good foundation for your home, for you have built upon a solid rock. We read in Matthew chapter 7 verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken them to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. This rock is Christ. Whatever you do," he says, "do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Build on the name of Jesus, which includes the whole revelation of himself in his word. To do something in the name of Jesus means to do it in a vital relationship to him, in harmony with his will and in dependence upon his power. Christians do everything in the name of Jesus when they allow their relationship with Christ to control their relationship with everyone and everything else. So let us close with the words of Psalm 128, which is specifically directed to fathers. "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labour of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. In the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.